how I know you feel, brother, when you get down behind the mic in the light. Good morning. I think the first thing I should do is let you know that I'm disappointed, too, that Eddie didn't show up. I'm sure you're here to hear Eddie. But Eddie's not with us, and I'm sorry that he couldn't make it. I always enjoy Eddie's messages. But you're going to be hearing this morning from somebody a few pay grades below Eddie. So I hope the Lord will allow us to just bring a little message from his word. I had no idea I would be up here. I think it was either late Friday or maybe even yesterday I found out. At that time, I'd like to, Bubba's not here, but to thank him for all that he goes through to keep preachers lined up for us. That's quite a job. And he has a hard job when one can't make the trip and he has to fill in. So I tried to help him a little bit and do that. As I look over the audience this morning, I'm reminded of something I heard many years ago. It was someone who was trying to help people who had a desire to do public speaking. And they would give them some advice. They said, well, get your speech ready and go out to the cabbage patch and stand there in front of the cabbage and pretend they're people and go ahead and give it to them. Let them have it. And said, then when you go to your audience, stand up and pretend that all the people are cabbage. And then you can just go right ahead and give your message again. Well, I used to have cabbage patches. I'm an old farmer. I used to like to raise vegetables. And I remember looking at the cabbage patch when I had planted it, and it still not, is it on?
Can you take the mask off?
Oh, no, I can't do that. I'll tell you about that later. Anyway, I would look at my cabbage patch, and it was beautiful, all those nice cabbages I had put out there in a row. And I kind of think that was what the person was thinking about when they said go to the cabbage patch. But you know, you can't eat all those cabbages at one time, so you would cut them maybe one at a time. And I thought this morning that as I look out in the audience at my cabbage patch, I've just about cleaned it out. It's down to very few. But nevertheless, regardless, we're still going to read the Word of God, and that's as powerful whether you're reading it to 1,000 or 10, so it doesn't make any difference. Now the mask. I'm not wearing this because of the virus. I'm wearing it because yesterday one of my front crowns fell off. And I'm a little vain, you know. I don't want to be standing up here and you looking at this tremendous gap in my teeth, so I'm wearing my mask. You just realize that beneath that mask, I got a big hole, and I don't want you to see it. So that's why I'm wearing the mask, brother. But if you can't hear me, let me know, and I'll try to speak up. I want to read a few scriptures this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to them because it would end up sort of being a sword drill. I'm going to read them, and then we'll try to tie them all together at the end and sort of make sense of what we've read. The first one is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 41 and 42. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. His, of course, is Peter's. They were baptized in the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I love this particular verse. It's one of my favorite verses in Acts. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then I'm going to read a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 11. I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse. Paul is speaking, and he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, and this of course is Luke speaking, it seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the beginning. I thought about that when I read it. Luke made quite a statement there. Luke said, it seems good to me also, having perfect understanding. Now, where did Luke get all of that understanding? Perfect understanding of all the things from the beginning, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. And then we'll read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, and then that's talking about what we just read, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until he was taken up. And then we'll go to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And it says this, Paul speaking again, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our hearing, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Then we'll look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30. For many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. 1 John chapter 5 and 13 says this, the same writer, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, these things write I unto you. And then in verse 15, he says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Brother Jay, for the last several weeks, has been looking in the book of Acts and speaking about it. And I just became interested in it again. It's just a wonderful book. In fact, I began to think this week about what it would be like if we didn't have the book of Acts. Can you imagine reading the Gospels and then jumping over and start reading the epistles? Wouldn't that be something? You're reading the Gospels, telling you how to be saved. You even hear that the Lord Jesus says that I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then all of a sudden you start reading the book of Romans and someone by the name of Paul says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. You begin to have questions. Well, where did he come from? I never read anything about Paul in the Gospels. And then you would have more questions than you would have answers if you took off into the epistles after you read the Gospels, if we didn't have the book of Acts. So thank God for that book. And we read that the book was written by Luke. Luke wrote the gospel, of course, first. And I was amazed when I read this recently and read those. I've read them before. But Luke said, I have perfect understanding of those things that happened. Now, we're talking about the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that John the Baptist did, all that the Lord Jesus did, that just everything in the gospel by Luke. Luke said he had perfect understanding of those things. And he was telling someone else about what he had understood, what he knew. And I wondered if Luke thought that he was simply writing this to an individual. Did he have any idea that it would become part of the Word of God and make up our Bible, Luke's Gospel? Because he said, O Theophilus, that's who he was writing. That's who he was concerned about. And he admitted that he believed what he was going to tell him. He said, we all believe it. We've understood it and we believe it. So he wrote the book of Luke. And then he closed Luke with Christ ascending to heaven. And then he wrote the book of Acts. Now, Jay has been through a lot of this, and so it's a repetition, but I hope you don't mind. But then he wrote the book of Acts, and he started there with Christ ascending into heaven. And he wrote that wonderful book. And again, he was writing to Theophilus. Again, I don't know whether he knew that this book was going to become part of the Word of God, and not only Theophilus reading it, but the whole world would read it. On down through the ages, it was forever settled in heaven. It was going to be God's word, and we would all read it. So it's a most interesting book. But I read that verse from 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 about Paul. Paul said this. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I could be wrong, and I certainly won't be dogmatic about what I'm going to say. But I think when Paul said this, he had the book of Acts in mind. You see, I think the book of Acts was the childhood of the church. You know, that's a principle in the Word of God that never changes. It's first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. God has a process. He starts at the beginning and works his way on through. So when the church was established, when the Holy Spirit came down the day of Pentecost, this was the beginning of the church. Now, God had the ability to make those Christians know as much about the Word of God as we or anyone else has ever known. He could have done it instantly. But he didn't. They were new Christians. They knew absolutely nothing about the Word of God. And we read that they that gladly received his word continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, that kind of went through my mind too. I said, well, what is the apostles' doctrine? Better question is, what was the apostles' doctrine at that particular time? When these new Christians were just saved, what was the apostles' doctrine? Further on in the book, we read that a question came up about whether Gentiles should be circumcised. Well, why would you even think about that? Well, the Jews thought, well, we had been circumcised. In other words, we were changing from the Jewish religion to the Christianity. That the Jews had heard this all of their life. They were all circumcised. So they naturally thought that when a Christian person becomes a Christian, the first thing you ought to do is circumcise them. And there was a big thing that took place. And they finally had a big meeting with the elders and the apostles, and they came together to discuss it. And then they settled it. They said, no, you don't have to circumcise the Gentiles. Just tell them to keep themselves from idols, from things strangled. It gave them a very short little direction. That was the apostles' doctrine. That was what they had to go by. They didn't have anything else. But naturally, as people were saved, the assembly grew, there would be questions that would come up. Well, what about this and what about that and so on? But God, in the beginning, when the church was established, we know he gave gifts. And I like to say this, the gifts that he gave then, he doesn't give for the same reason that he gives gifts now. And what I mean by that is, when these people were saved, who was going to teach them? They had to have teachers. So he gave some the gift of teaching. And I believe that that individual was given knowledge to teach that he didn't have before. I even think it was given to him overnight. He didn't get it from studying because there wasn't anything to study with the Old Testament. He could study the Old Testament, but what did that have to do with this new thing that came along called the church? Paul, and I read that verse, said whatsoever was written before time was written for our learning. Now there's difference in writing something for your learning and for something for your doing. In other words, learning is not behaving. I use this illustration, and it's personal, and I hate to talk too much about a personal thing. But when I became a young supervisor, I had to go to a class that lasted for 2 weeks. The people used to call it charm school. They say they charming you now, getting you ready for to be a supervisor. But when I arrived to that class, I found there were two books that we had to study. One was a book about the history of the company. They wanted us to know when the company was founded and all the changes that had taken place through the country. That company, that was history. And we studied it for a week. We had 2 weeks there. But then they had another book called the P&P Manual. We studied that for a week. That had nothing to do with history. It was your behavior. How are you going to run the company? What are you going to do in your job? And is everybody going to do it the same way? That's what the manual was for, so that everyone would have a set way of doing what they did for the company. That governs your behavior. That governs how you would do your job as a supervisor. Now, just to go a little further, as I moved around in the company, I think I worked in 5 different districts, I found out that everyone didn't do everything the same way. We all had the same P&P manual, but people were interpreting it different or either just disregarding it altogether and doing things their way. So I found out one of the greatest jobs I had when I went from one district to another was trying to get everyone back to the P&P manual so we would all do it together. So bear in mind that Paul said whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. He's talking about what was written before he wrote what he wrote. That was for our learning. But then I read another verse where Paul said, these things have I written that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So what I want to say is the book of Acts is a wonderful book, and we need to read it, and we need to enjoy it, the history of the church. But if you want to know how to behave yourself in the house of God, you don't go to the book of Acts. For instance, if you did, if you saw a convert, if you saw someone converted, and you try to instruct them, the first thing you would tell them is, well, when you're converted, you've got to be baptized. And then you've got to sell everything you have and give it away. Because that's what the new Christians did. They sold their possessions. That's not instructed in the Word of God. Paul never said anything about doing that, but the Christians did it in Acts. So if you go to the book of Acts for church truths, if you go to the book of Acts to find out how you should behave in the church, you're going to be disappointed, or you're going to be misled. You're not in the P&P manual. The P&P manual is Paul's writings. Anything you tell anyone about how they should behave in the church of God, you better get it from Paul. If you get it from anywhere else, it better agree with what Paul said. Paul didn't write that for nothing. No other person wrote those words, that what I have written, I wrote it so you would know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground. No one else said that. I read about others who told you why they wrote what they wrote. For instance, I read a verse from John. John said, these things have I written that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. Well, that's why John wrote the gospel. And Luke, Mark, and Matthew could have said the same thing. They wrote the gospel for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and be saved. That's what the gospel is all about. So different ones have wrote different books for different things. Now, I read another verse from 1 John. He says, these things I've written unto you that know the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. John wrote for that. And then when you read John's epistle, realize that, well, he's wrote that so I will know I have eternal life. And that's why I like to read through the Word of God and see why different books were written. So the book of Acts was written by Luke, and Luke told you the history of the church from when the Lord Jesus was taken up, from the Holy Spirit coming down, and the day of Pentecost and indwelling the believers. But then think about these gifts that was given to the early church. We just talked about the teaching. Someone had to teach them. So someone had to know what to teach. So God gave them the ability to teach immediately. They didn't have to go to a seminar. They didn't have to go to Emmaus Bible School, or they didn't have to go to anyone to learn something about the Word of God or teach it. God gave it to them so they could teach. And then, of course, there's the tongues. Why did he give them the tongues? So they could go out and preach the gospel to someone other than the ones they could preach to in their own language. He wanted the gospel to spread. But tongues have ceased. That's what Paul said. That's why I read that word. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, why do I connect that with Acts and the gifts? Because he starts off by saying, though I have the gift of prophecy, or I know all things, or whether I have the gift of giving, if I don't have love, I'm like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So why did he write that? Well, he wrote it to a group that was still trying to cling to these special gifts that God gave the early church. In fact, they were glorying in the fact that they had these special gifts. But Paul was trying to let them know that's not important. The important thing is love. And why is that so important? Because that's what Jesus Christ is. He's the one that gave that new commandment, saying, I give you a new commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Well, one might say, well, what's new about that? We read in the Old Testament about you love the Lord, that God with all your heart and your might and soul. Nothing new about love. Well, what was new was the example. What was new was who you were to imitate when you love. Your love was to be like the Lord Jesus. So Paul was telling them here, these gifts are not that important. The love is what's important. So he was telling them that the tongue shall cease. He said, though there be knowledge, it will vanish. Though there be tongues, they shall cease. And they did, but the people didn't want to believe that. And we have people even today that don't believe that. They believe that these tongues are still in effect. And they claim that when you're saved, you have to speak in tongues. And if you don't, you haven't received the Holy Spirit and so on. So even from that long time ago when Paul said they're ceased, they're still going on today. There are those who will not accept the fact that Paul said they will cease. But that's why I read that verse. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. There's nothing wrong with being a child. In fact, there was an old preacher that took a great interest in me when my wife and I were first saved, came to the house quite often. And he told me one time, I was raising two young children, and he said, remember this, always let your children be children. Don't try to make them into grown people. You can't do it. A child has to be a child. So it wasn't anything wrong when Paul said, I was a child. I spake as a child. Nothing wrong with that. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The church started out in its childhood. And there were things given and done that was done as they were children. But as they matured and as they became men, some of those things ceased altogether. Think of teaching. The reason the teaching, gift of teaching was given, because someone had to teach the church, and there was no one there to do it. So the knowledge of teaching was given that individual so they could teach. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Because he said, I know in part, I prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. Well, what did he mean by that? What was he looking for that was going to be perfect? He was looking for the entire, complete Word of God. They didn't have it then. Paul didn't have it. No one had it. They had the Old Testament, and it was good for their learning. But they needed instructions on how to conduct themselves in the house of God. So Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. So a lot of the book of Acts that was done away. Because now we have the whole counsel of God. It's been delivered once for all to the saints. We have it. Have it in our hands. We can read it. We can study it. In fact, Paul told Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What was you to study? What is Timothy to study? He's to study the written word of God. He's to meditate upon it. He's to think about it. He's to read it. He's to give exhortation to reading and doctrine. Paul told Timothy, look, this gift of teaching is not going to come to you overnight like it used to. You've got to study to get it. And that's what has to happen today. I don't know of anyone in my lifetime or in my time as a Christian that was ever saved that could take the Word of God and open and preach any message that you want to hear from that Word of God. I've never known anyone like that. Well, why? It happened before, because that's not the way it's happening anymore. If you want to teach, you've got to learn. You've got to have something to teach, and you've got to get it before you can teach. Paul told Timothy to teach young men. And why did he say to teach them? So that they would be able to teach others also. So that's where the teaching comes in. Now, I don't even pretend that God isn't still giving gifts to his church. He is giving gifts. There's no question about it. But don't expect for him to give you the gift of teaching if you sit down and never open your Bible. That's not going to happen. I'll guarantee it. You got to do what Paul told Timothy to do. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You study the Word of God. You read it. And you've got to stay in the Word if you want to be a teacher. There's no question about it. I know that missionaries would love for the gift of tongues to still be. In fact, I would love it because of our dear Spanish friends who have come. I can't understand them. They can't understand me. Oh, I wish God would just give me the gift of speaking Spanish so I could communicate with them and they could communicate with me. But that doesn't happen. When you want to become a missionary, why not pray, God, give me that language so I can go and take the word of God to these people? He doesn't do that. One of the greatest missionaries I ever knew was T. Ernest Wilson, and I have his book. And it's amazing how much time he had to spend once he felt the call to go and preach the gospel to those in Angola. He had to learn the Portuguese language. See, they had been there before, and the language of the Portuguese was spoken there in Angola. So he spent a long period of time studying that language so he could go and present the gospel. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the night after he decided that God has called me to go and speak to the Angolans, that God would have given the message, given the language? It doesn't happen. And it's not going to happen because tongues have ceased. That method of teaching has ceased. The teaching that goes on now will come from those who have spent time in the Word, studying the Word, praying over the Word, reading the Word, and spending time practicing the Word. That's where the teaching will come from. If you want to be a teacher, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if the book of Acts is wonderful, and I love to read it, but we need to bear in mind why it was written, and we need to bear in mind why these other books were written. Paul wrote more than anyone else in the New Testament. Paul's claim is that what he wrote was so you would know how to behave as a Christian. And that's it. You better read all of Paul's epistles if you're concerned about your behavior. And don't be concerned about anything he hasn't touched on. There are some people who jump into subjects that Paul never covered, and they almost make it sound like they read about it in the Word of God. One Sunday morning, we had a visiting preacher come to our assembly. And at the time to pass the bread, I got up and I passed the bread. As soon as the meeting was over, this preacher jumped up and began to preach on wearing gold rings. I forget now what scripture he used, unless maybe it was in the book of James, where he reads, if someone comes into your assembly with a gold ring on, you don't give him a special seat. He didn't say anything about the man shouldn't have come in with the gold ring. He just said, don't give him a special seat. So when you start telling people what they should do and what they shouldn't do, give them the thus saith the Lord. Don't give them your opinion. Your opinion is no better than anyone else's opinion. I know I've said this before, but I came from an assembly that one of the elders was a barber. He owned his own barbershop, had about 5 chairs in there. And you know that in a barbershop, a lot of conversations go on. Oh man, politics, religion, everything is discussed. And I remember that he would say, people would come in and would get on the Bible. And they would start discussing different things and all would give their opinion. And they would finally end up saying, Ed, what do you think? He would always say, well now look, it doesn't make any difference what I think. My opinion is no better than your opinion. He said, but I'll tell you what the Word of God says. We can't go wrong conducting ourselves that way. Don't give out our opinions unless it's based on the Word of God. Let's give the thus saith the Lord, because that's the only thing that counts. So when we go to church behavior, go to Paul's epistles. He was given the ability and the job to write how we should behave ourselves in the house of God. It wasn't the book of Acts. It wasn't John's gospel or Luke's gospel. It was Paul's writing. Now, I think Paul wrote the book to the Hebrews as well as the others. So you stop and think of all the epistles that Paul wrote, if you include the Hebrew epistle. Paul did a lot of writing in the New Testament. So we should really be concerned about what he wrote, because that should govern our behavior in the church. So again, I love the book of Acts, but I don't go to the book of Acts to tell me how to behave in the house of God. I go to the book of Acts to get the history of the church, how it was born, how it was moved on, how God had first the blade, then the ear, and then the full cone in the ear until it reached maturity. And that was what Paul wanted all of his listeners to do. He said, I can't give you meat because you still need milk. But and Peter told us to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow that way. But he was writing in babes in Christ. Babes in Christ need to desire the milk of the word that they may grow. But we can't keep feeding on milk. We need to get into the meat. And Paul said, I can't give you meat because you're not mature. You can't take it. So we need to get into Paul's epistles. read them, study them, and try to obey them and to do what they say. Then we'll be prepared for the meat. Even Peter, in writing about Paul, said Paul wrote some things that was hard to understand. And he was right. Evidently, Peter had a little trouble understanding them. And we will too. But that shouldn't stop us from reading them and studying them and knowing how God wants us to behave in his house. That is the message that I had. That was the thoughts that I had as I was thinking about the book of Acts. They're the verses of scripture that came to mind. And I hoped I've been able to put them together in such a way that they make sense. And that it will cause us to want one more time to get into God's word, find out what he wants us to do, how he wants us to behave, and be sure if we correct someone, we do it with the word of God, not our opinion. Things aren't the way we think they should be. They're the way God wants them to be. And Paul has told us how that should be. And Paul's word is what we should read, his epistles, to find out how we should behave. And in so doing, if we behave the way Paul asked us to behave, our blessed Savior will get the preeminence, because no one exalted the Lord Jesus Christ more than the Apostle Paul. He's the one that wrote those words, that in all things he might have the preeminence. May that be our desire as well. Shall we pray? Father, we enter thy holy presence again in the worthy and precious name of our Lord.